Welcome to show number 128 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. We've got a end of the week or kind of weekend edition of the Sports Card Show podcast. Sit back, relax. We've got, I don't know, some different topics today. I've also got some of the new products that were announced on like pre-sale, kind of pre-order that come out later this year. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Spurs in Miami briefly. LeBron going big time with another championship. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a major scam that happened a little while, or been happening for a while, but kind of got cracked open a little bit a little while ago, about a month ago. And so I'm going to talk about that, some of the angles that I see there. Got quite a few. I get a lot of emails, but got 11 at my count all this week on Topps redemptions. So I even put out a tweet to Topps wondering if they had changed their customer service email to mine, because I didn't know if it was a coincidence or what, but I kept getting them. And so wondering what's going on there. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about EPN. What's EPN? eBay Partner Network. eBay Partner Network. That's a mouthful. What the heck's that? We'll talk about that. And briefly, I had a request. I've gotten this request before. People want an email, get sent an email when there's a new show up. And so in the show notes of this one and probably future shows, 128 and probably on if I can remember it, there'll be an email there where you just put in your email address. And every, I think at like noon or 3 o'clock, you'll get an email if there's a show up. You won't get an email every day if there's not a show. But if there's a show, it'll ping you and there'll be a link in there to go with different links to download the show or to listen to it and stuff like that. So if you're interested in that, head on over to our website and find the show notes for this show and probably future shows. I'll try to throw it in there if you're interested in that. And if you can't find it, you can always send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. I solicit emails on just about anything. And if you want to get added to that list, I can manually add you that way. And so you can stay on top of everything we got going on here podcast-wise. Well, let's move right into some of the new product announcements this week. Bowman Sterling Football. I forgot the title to this one, but I believe this is Bowman Sterling Football that I'm talking about here. Five cards. You tell I copied this. Five cards per pack. Six packs per box. Very small configurations, but it typically delivers. You get one autograph or rookie veteran cards per box, one jumbo rookie or veteran card. Every box delivers four rookie or veteran autographs. So out of six packs, you're going to get four autographs of either a veteran or a rookie. You're going to get one autograph rookie relic card, so there's five. And you're going to get one rookie autograph patch card. So that's very interesting. And you get some other stuff in there. There's one Sterling jumbo rookie patch box topper. That's a whole mouthful, but there's box toppers in there looking like they want like $250 a box or something like that. So it's a lot of money for a box, but might be kind of interesting. There's eight boxes a case. That comes out October 30th. Now, another release for football. This comes out September 18th, or as of today. I mean, it might get pushed back. Chances are it's not going to get moved up. You get in Panini Certified Football, 2013 Certified Football, you get five cards per pack, 10 packs per box. And there's like mini cases and there's full eight box cases. You're going to get four memorabilia or autograph cards, at least one per box. So one out of three at least will be an autograph. You're going to have mirror parallel, stuff like that. What I like in this product is there's going to be hot boxes. And one out of eight boxes or one per case is going to have will contain all platinum parallel cards in, featuring red, blue, gold, emerald, or black. So everything will be a parallel card, I think. So that'll be kind of interesting if you hit one of those. This stuff, not quite as expensive as Sterling. You're probably looking at $90 to $100 a box for something like that. Now moving on to basketball. Yes, we still have more releases. The NBA Finals are over, but we have more releases. Panini Intrigue Basketball, intriguing, six cards per pack, one pack per box. It's a 10 box case, so it's one of those one pack wonder kind of products. You get three autographs and one memorabilia card, and it looks like two inserts. In here, they have these. There's one 5-card bonus intriguing player pack per box. So I guess there's more than one pack per box. There's really two. There's like one regular pack and looks like this 5-card bonus pack. And there's going to be it's only going to feature 20 players, and there's 10 cards of each player. So there's 200 total cards of 20 players. And so it's all the quote unquote, the top players on the game. So Kobe and Durant and all the players that they have, you know, LeBron probably, and things like that. So might be kind of interesting. You're looking at well over $125, $130, $140 a box for that. So hopefully there's some big hits coming out of that for only 3 autographs and 1 mem. August 21st for basketball fans might want to check that out. But before that, folks, we have Panini National Treasures Basketball. So save up your wallets. July 31st, 2013. Probably going to be running $450, $500 a box. Depends on where you get it and how hot it is. There's going to be 10 cards per pack, and it's one box. There's 3 boxes a case. 9 autographs, memorabilia, or press plates per box. So a mixture of 9 hits and 1 base card. And obviously, you know, you're looking for the rookies in here. There's all the other stuff that we're used to, but we're looking for the rookies typically. There's going to be 10 of the ABA's most popular players in ABA Legends autographs. So that's something maybe I haven't seen in National Treasures, at least in the past. So there'll be some ABA stars mixed in there. So we have Sterling Football, Certified Football, Intrigue Basketball, National Treasures Basketball, all announced this week. Some of them rumor. I know most of these, Intrigue Basketball is like the only one that we don't really expect. So interesting there. Let's move, since we're on the topic of basketball, let's move right in. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on Spurs Miami. I thought that the momentum the NBA got going from game 6 to game 7 was good. Seemed like people were really excited. Game 7 was pretty good. I thought it was a good game. I've heard mixed. Some people didn't think it was a great game. I thought it was a pretty good game. LeBron really put the hammer down there right at the end. Manu Ginobili made at least 3 mistakes off the top of my head that really cost the Spurs big time. 3 possessions right there where if they could have converted on 1 or 2 of them, it would have changed the complexion of the game. But, you know, you can't ever count the Spurs out. I know they've been counted out before, and many people, they might lose Ginobili, other guys might leave, retire, whatever. But, you know, they still got a really good coach, and some of their young players like Green and Kawhi Leonard played really well, and they might continue to develop and step up into roles. And they always seem to draft well. They never draft high, never draft in a lottery, but they always acquire these players that are team guys and do the right thing. So, you know, who can count them out? And if LeBron stays in Miami, I've heard a lot of rumors that he wants to go back to Cleveland, rectify that situation. I don't know what his I know he can opt out at some point, and it might be in his best interest because I think he signed for less money in Miami. So we might see LeBron win another title. Who knows? The guy's very talented. He's a very talented basketball player. They have a really talented team there in Miami. That's tough to beat. They're pretty good defensively. The addition of Anderson, I don't know if they don't add him, Birdman or whatever his name is. I mean, it would have been tough against some of these teams. He really rebounded well, shot a high percentage, didn't play a whole lot of minutes, but was really effective. Ray Allen was effective. You know, just a clean win, clean NBA season. You know, pack it up. We'll be back for next season, I'm sure. Everybody that are fans of basketball, at least. Moving right along. What the heck am I going to talk about? Let's talk about eBay Partner Network. That is a way for like blogs and websites like mine and pretty much everyone I know of in the sports card world monetizes or advertises essentially eBay and makes a cut off the sale. And what they're doing is something that they really should have done a long time ago. And I think you'll see other advertisers trend toward this. And certainly if you're somebody that thinks about advertising or wants to advertise, you want to think about what eBay's doing here in their strategy going forward in terms of how they're going to pay for traffic and pay for people to come to eBay and shop and do certain things. You want to think about that too, because I think it actually makes a lot of sense. So essentially what they've done in the past is they've allowed anybody that wants to sign up for their affiliate program, sign up. and you post eBay links, and when someone clicks and buys something, you get a small percentage, and they paid the same percentage no matter what. I mean, they have this complicated system, and if you're a part of it, they pay per click, and but you know, it's a certain percentage. Well, now what they're going to do is they're going to pay you depending on how often the person has purchased on eBay in the past, whether a new user or somebody that hasn't bought that frequently or somebody that buys all the time. And I think that actually makes a lot of sense. For me, it kind of sucks because they're actually paying less for people that that convert very well, like people that buy on eBay all the time. Why does eBay need to pay a good percentage or the same percentage they pay for that traffic as they do for traffic that might not have gotten to eBay, might have bought it at Amazon, bought it at a store, or not have seen that item at all? So they're going to pay a little bit more for people that don't come to eBay. Now, it's kind of counterintuitive if you're sitting here in my position or a webmaster's position or an advertiser's, a publisher's position. You might be like, doesn't it make sense that you want to send good customers over, good whatever? Yeah, maybe it does, but at a much smaller rate. I wouldn't pay personally, you know, like in the sports car world, I don't even think you really need to advertise. You don't need to sponsor or anything like that because it's such a small niche that if you deliver for customers, I mean, look at Check Out My Cards. I remember, you know, now I think they do some advertising in Beckett, and that might be more scratching their back because they've helped them out quite a bit, I think, with having all that data on their site. And that's got to speed things up for them and help them make money. So, but, you know, before that, they weren't advertising a whole lot. They grew organically. I've never really advertised the sports card show. You can do podcasts and put up content and just meet and meet people in person or do emails like I often do one-on-one. And the word spreads. You know, it's no problem. So I think you as an advertiser, you want to keep that as a cue for you. You know, don't pay for traffic that you're going to already get. You know, maybe pay for it, but pay a lot less. Pay pennies on the dollar for it because it's going to come to you anyways. This kind of carries over from what we talked about last week on promoting your website and stuff like that. You want to promote in the areas where, you know, if it is, you know, if you do want to get those regular customers, maybe you are brand new in the business and you don't have any customers, maybe it will be good for you to partner with somebody or advertise and pay the same amount for it. But as you go along and people start to get to know you in whatever industry, you could be in sports cards or selling sunflower seeds or whatever it is. Once people get to know you, you don't have to advertise quite as much or pick your spots, basically. You know, a good example in my local area is In-N-Out Burger. They have usually one store in a metropolitan area, typically could have 2, 3, 4 or whatever, but they typically locate them right by a freeway. They know their sweet spot locations. There's usually lines out the door at the place. They don't advertise. You don't see billboards. You don't see commercials. I've heard a couple radio spots here and there for them. But other than that, I don't get mailers in the mail. I don't get, you know, like McDonald's and Burger King and all them do advertising. So you get what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, you to combo, to give you some value out of this, a lot of people that collect cards have a website or have a blog or want to sell their cards at some point, want to promote it. You know, always think about, okay, do I just want to blindly promote this and watch anybody that comes in, or do I really want to nail it down and target? 5 or 6 years ago, it was hard to do that. It was hard to nail down to a certain city or a certain demographic. The way Facebook and Google Ads and all this stuff works, you can target down to the device that they have, to the city that they live in, to the hours of the day. And so it's much easier to target and find the people that you want. And so I applaud eBay, even though I'm going to, you know, this is why you don't put all your eggs in one affiliate program as a webmaster. Maybe some of you out there want to get are into webmaster and putting up websites and stuff like that. This is why you don't ever want to put all your eggs in one basket as well. You want to, you know, programs can close. They can you know, stop sending you money for any number of reasons at any time. So you want to diversify. You want to make sure that you're not putting all your eggs in one basket, basically. So, and that goes the same for you as a customer and you as a sports car collector. Don't typically always want to put all your eggs in one basket. Kind of like a lot of people, because baseball is one of the most popular collected sports, and everybody, you know, really identifies with the cards because they probably collect them as a kid or their dad did or whatever. So Topps gets a lot of loyalty or legacy kind of customers, but do they really treat the customers very well afterwards? No. And part of that is because the way Topps is structured, you know, if you work there, I don't want to hang my hat and really down anybody for working at a card company. But really, if you were 13 years old and you told your mom, when I grow up, I want to work at Topps, I would hope your mom would say, well, hey, that's great, but son, go to college and maybe you could do something a little bit bigger than that. And what Topps simply is a sales job. And there was an example of that last year when I started getting a lot of emails. I remember the last time I got a lot of emails about Topps redemptions and problems at Topps was when they had a hurricane back like in October or November last year, which is too bad. I don't want a hurricane to happen. I don't want people to lose their homes. And if you got to close down shop and if you can't answer phones and emails during a week or 2 weeks or however long it takes, that's okay because that's out of your control. But I'm pretty sure they got back to work shortly after that, but then closed down shop. Upper management at Topps left because it's a sales job. They had hit their numbers for the year. And they checked out. And so they started giving away a bunch of stuff on Twitter and quote giving stuff away on Twitter and Facebook to get people to just say great things about them. And, oh, it's great. They're giving away a $100 card every day. Yeah, right. No one's even at the office right now because it's a sales job. They met their numbers. They went home. They stopped answering emails. Anybody that was there didn't have anybody over the top of them. So they could sit back and smoke a cigarette if they wanted to indoors, which is unheard of. And here in California, maybe in Pennsylvania, you can still do that. Still do it in Nevada. Boy. Anyways, I've gotten a lot of emails this week about Topps redemptions, and a lot of them were almost like I was Topps. And that's fine. I encourage anybody to email me and any time, but understand with the Topps redemption issues, there is absolutely nothing I can do but get on a podcast and get on Twitter and voice my displeasure, which I'll do any day of the week, any time. I do not care. I don't care about anybody that works at these companies. I don't care about the company itself. I don't care about any company. Because if you invest in the stock market, that's what happens if you pay close attention, you know, you spend from 5:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon watching this, that's all people do. They say, this CEO sucks. This one got fired. Men's Warehouse guy is out. New guy in. This company's broke. This company's over. Whatever. That's what happens all the time. So I don't care about anybody that works at Topps, but I do care about their customers because I'm getting emails about people that are now getting out of the hobby. I got a couple where I'm out. I'm out after this. After I get this card, I'm out. I'm done. And that's cool. If that's how you feel, man, I'm sorry that it had to come to that. And the biggest flaw I see with Topps is their communication. Is if you don't have the athlete's signature, if you don't have anything, then at least communicate with the customer in a way that that makes them feel comfortable with the situation. Yeah, you know, you could give them, there's only so many ways you can give people the runaround, but they don't even do that, it seems like. They don't answer the phone, they stop answering emails, they don't answer Twitters, you know, they only seem to talk to it's like a fraternity over there. You know, you got to have the letters on your chest to come in the door and talk to anybody. That's not how it should be. And over the long run, the more and more you keep doing that, the more customers that are just going to get out and get out and quit collecting cards or move to another brand or come on over to basketball. I think basketball cards are kind of fun. You know, they're certainly, I think, undervalued considering, you know, the popularity of the sport. So my little basketball plug there. But, you know, who knows what's going on over at Topps? You know, really, I honestly don't know. I wish I could help you guys out a little bit more on the situation. But, you know, like I said, last week or the week before, I got a Gary Carter kind of out of the blue, and they kind of sent those out. And I saw on another forum that Topps did send kind of a mass email out to people saying, hey, we're creating these redemptions. After they had already sent several out, they finally came out and it kind of announced it officially. So there's just you can just tell that it is a sales job there. All they care about is the initial sale, either to the Target Walmart buyer or to the card companies. They don't even care about their dealers. I mean, if we could get a dealer on this program, or if you could hear the truth, what they tell you about their $10,000 orders going up in poo for the order, pain and ordering for 8 boxes, and then they go look at their order and there's nothing there. There's lots of those stories out there, and that happens all the time. So they don't even care about that customer. So it's Tops is not in the card making business. They're in the card sales business. And after they make a sale, they don't care about you. And on the redemptions, they'll put 4 to 8 weeks or 4 to 12 weeks, 6 to 12 weeks or whatever on it. Put 24 to 48 months or put 48 to 36 months if that's really how long it's taking. I mean, quit lying to people. That's what it comes down to. Tops and people that shill for them and promote for them blindlessly and not even pay attention to any of this stuff, they're doing a disservice to everybody. It shouldn't happen. This is easy stuff. This is baseball cards. Back in the day, when you used to have to mail before they probably even had a computer system to handle a lot of this, you had to mail it in. I didn't hear about a whole lot of problems. I used to mail those things in myself, and when they didn't come back after a while, you got something in the mail that said, hey, we'll replace it with this, or you got your replacement. You didn't have to wait 5 years. So it's just a laziness, it's a lack of caring, and it's a lack of structure at that company that wants to help the customer out. All they want to do is sell you the product. They don't care if it sucks for you. So that's a bad business to be in. That's a business that goes down and down and down and down because you lose customers. Might not happen overnight. They've been in business for a long time, but you know, if you keep treating your customers like that over a long period of time, it's been about a year now where I've really heard lots of complaints, over a year now, and it's getting kind of frustrating. Another frustrating thing I find in the hobby is people trying to take, and it happens everywhere. There's fake DVDs and bootleg DVDs, bootleg iPhones, bootleg whatever, Microsoft, Excel, illegal downloads, piracy. Wherever you can make a buck, people can make a buck. And in the sports card world, you especially have to be careful because they've been faking cards and faking autographs for a long time. And these authenticators, again, it's just I've always tried to emphasize this whenever we talked about authentication. Again, if you weren't there when Wilt Chamberlain signed it, or when Babe Ruth signed it, or when whoever is dead now signed it, man, you're taking somebody else's opinion that is real. And, you know, it might not be real. And that goes from autographs, but a recent scam, I say recent, that's about a month ago, on the forum net54baseball.com. I'll provide links to the actual thread where it all, it's like a pretty long thread, 13 pages, I think, or so. And I'll post a link or two to some key threads where there's some eBay names mentioned. And blowout, this guy was on blowout forums and he had pawns. I'll talk about this in a minute, but he had pawns that were out there doing some of the deals for him. Maybe unknowing pawns that didn't know they were selling fake cards out there doing some of the selling on other forums out there and on eBay. So you want to take note if you were in the market or have been in the market in the past for very typically higher end to high end graded baseball cards. Typically graded, vintage baseball cards. Typically what this, to summarize a very elaborate and long going scam, there seemed to be some kind of ringleader that was based out in kind of Mexico, and there was San Diego ties, Southern California, south of California. A guy that was basically acquiring cards and would alter them, would trim them, and then literally make fake PSA slabs that looked totally legit and would sell them to people and do deals on eBay, do deals on forums and stuff like that. And so you got to be, man, that's really scary stuff for a lot of different reasons. One, guy's ability to make fake PSA probably has the weakest holder I've seen in terms of not its strength, but maybe its strength too, but certainly in its ability to copy that. Obviously, to mold plastic and to do it on a high end, you're going to have to sell $20,000 cards, $30,000 cards, because even if you, I mean, it's not I wouldn't call it cheap to try to replicate a PSA holder, especially to the ability this guy has. But if you do have the equipment, you know how, maybe even stolen molds or bootleg, kind of bought the molds off. You know, most of the time this stuff is done in China or done in these other countries where you can go and buy. I mean, Apple has problems with this. They outsource to Samsung, and then Samsung comes out with a phone that's exactly like theirs. I mean, what do they expect is going to happen in those countries where there's no laws and there's nothing against that? So PSA probably a little slow over the years, especially to upgrade their holder, especially the last 20 years where you could have done a little bit more to protect people. But you as a collector, especially, you know, I don't need to tell people like this, it's probably a small segment of the people that collect, and certainly probably a small people that listen to this podcast. But if you are a baller, and literally a baller, and in the market for $5,000 to $10,000 plus cards, I don't need to tell you this, but you know, there's probably lots of people that listening to this, as you get older, you might come into that kind of wealth. You might get a great job. You might, you know, play in the NBA. You might coach in the NBA, something. You might make a lot of money, sell a book, whatever you decide to do in your life. You might be in the market at one point for a Babe Ruth or for a Mickey Mantle or something of in tremendous value. Just be very careful. I don't need to tell everybody this, but you want to do as much vetting and as much as you can. I believe you can even have PSA examine cards. If a guy's not willing to do that, if he's not willing to send it to PSA, even if it's in a slab, and you're like, hey, send it to PSA, I want them to double check it, and he's not willing to do that, either at his cost or your cost, then don't do the deal. It's not worth it. You know, and if you have that kind of money and you're spending that kind of money, just don't do it. And understand with these authentication companies, PSA in general, PSA specifically, they are a public company. And just like Beckett and all these other ones, they're a company, they're in business to make money. People that send them cards and send them money, for them to turn them away is not always a proposition. That's not the first thing they want to do. They're not a truly independent authentication service. I'm sure they have biases, and there's certainly probably employees there that are better than others and more diligent about checking things out than others. And certainly, if people can copy these cases in Mexico or in California or wherever it is, obviously you don't have a standard on your encasing that's good enough, or a serial number system, or a way people can check to see if that's really what they're buying is really what's in there. So man, with these scans, this seemed to be a very elaborate scan. I encourage you to go to net54baseball.com. I provide the links right to the thread. If you can't find it on their website, I provide the links in our show notes. You can read through the thread. If you've bought any vintage cards, or especially on forums and even on eBay, that you think might be connected to this, you want to read through this thread. It seemed to target, obviously, if you're at this level. And what this guy was doing was, he wasn't doing a lot of the selling himself all the time. He would get people, he'd maybe make quote unquote friends with people on a forum, or have friends elsewhere do some of the deals. And those people may or may not have known they were, a lot of the people obviously buying, apparently this was a scam that scammed thousands of cards were faked. Thousands of cards were altered. Thousands of cards were sold fraudulently. You know, people that were involved in this may or may not have known they were set. You may have bought it from someone that's totally legit on a forum right now, or totally legit on eBay right now. They may not have known. So if you were in the market in the last, I would say probably 2 or 3 years, it seems like this has been going on for a while, and you want to check this out. You want to make sure you have what you think you have. As disappointing as it might be, to find out that what you bought a year ago or 6 months ago ends up being fake, you'd rather find out now than have your son end up on Pawn Stars 40 years from now trying to pawn your baseball card. And, you know, the older Harrison, Rick Sr. might be gone, but the son and Chumley might be there to tell you it's fake. So you want to be very careful. And that's with everything. and we talked about Topps today with their redemptions. And I say it on every show, and I can't emphasize it more now because I've gotten a lot of emails this week. Avoid their redemptions. Avoid products. If, to me, I would avoid all their products at all costs, unless it's a $2 pack or a $3 pack. They were like $2. My brother bought some. They had 2012 Topps football rack packs for like $2 at Walmart, which I think is a really good deal because you get an Andrew Luck or a Russell Wilson. In those cases where you're spending $2, and if I pulled a redemption for a Robert Griffin III autograph, would I be pissed? Yeah, I'd be worried. I'd be worried if I got it, but I only spent $2. If you're buying a $250 Bowman Sterling box and there's only two good rookies all year and you get one of the redemptions, you got to wait 2 years for it and he's blown out his knee by then, trust me, that's not good. That's not – that's just – it's really – I would avoid all the products just because of that – especially football. I would avoid football because you could buy a guy, get it, and have to hold on to that card before his career's over. Because as you've seen, you know, Beanie Wells, I mean, the list goes down the line of these top running backs, top, quote, players that were supposed to be the next great thing, and now teams are drafting players 2 years later, a year later to replace them. And it's just a frustrating situation to be in. Frustrating for me to sit here and see this kind of stuff happen because I don't see it happen. Yeah, like I said, it happens in DVD, shady DVD dealings, or happens in, you know, you're bent over backwards for the cable. Buying from top shouldn't be like buying from the cable company or going to the DMV because you have to. I just think there's more options for you out there. And like I've said in the past, I've encouraged you to buy old cards or buy cards that are already out, but you got to be careful there too. So, you know, to a long podcast, not a long one, 30 minutes, to sum it up, you know, I'm not breaking any news here, and I'm certainly not breaking any ground here, but, you know, you got to be careful wherever you – if you're buying a used car, it could have a blown motor. You got to get your Carfax or whatever it is. So as you as a consumer, you know you got to be careful. I would say you've got to – your awareness has to be really high when you're buying baseball cards, especially when they're in the figures where it's quite a bit of money to you. You know, if $20,000 is not a lot to you and you got ripped off on a card, God bless you. You know, I mean – That's great. That's a, you know, if the money, but a lot of people, when they buy a card of that caliber, they buy expensive items like that. They treasure them and they expect them to be what they are. And it's not always the case. And it's not always the case with new cards too. So us as collectors, that's why, excuse me, I think it's important. You always got to find what you like in this hobby. For me, I like buying and selling cards. I like buying certain ones sometimes and keeping them, you know, like a James Worthy or something, or buying some Giants cards like a Buster. I got a Buster Posey off a really nice fan of the show a week ago or two, just because I don't have a Buster autograph. You know, it'd be nice. It's nice to just have that kind of stuff. Sometimes I buy Bengals, AJ Green occasionally. I'll buy stuff like that. So you got to really pick your spots. For me, that's what I try to do. I really try to pick my spots. It's fun to go nuts and open cases or get a bunch of cards or go on a big buying spree. But at the same time, we always want to be making sure we're not making purchases and doing stuff that we could regret later. And especially on forums, if you're doing one-on-one dealings on forums, even on eBay, but at least you have a little bit of recourse on pay. We got to have a whole show on like PayPal recourse and that whole system. But at least you have something there, at least for a period of time, 30, 60 days or something like that. 90 days, I don't really know. But again, we could have a whole show on that because I've heard varying things there. But you just want to be cautious and don't ever feel pressured into a sale in this business. Don't ever feel like you have to buy something in sports cards. And the people in this business that when they're selling something to you, like whether it's a company themselves or somebody promoting them, if they're always telling you, buy, 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 buy all this, buy this, buy this, buy this, who cares, buy this, try this, They don't know what they're talking about, honestly. And if you're trying to sell stuff like a box break or single cards or something, and you're just buy to your customers, the customers are just going to start tuning you out. You want to at least I probably go way too much on the other end and say don't buy. But I'd rather be on that end and always caution you guys. In your deal, whether it's your dealings with people on forums or eBays or you're buying, but especially high dollar stuff, a scammer's not going to touch low dollar stuff because he's gonna have to push out a ton of it, and chances are he's gonna get caught pretty quickly if he's selling thousands of items. He's gonna go for that $120,000 sale, that $130,000 sale, or what this guy did with the scammers. On the forums is typically he'd set up some what seemed to be legitimate trades. He'd build up a reputation. This is a typical scam. They'll do lower dollar trades, and then they'll try to hit the home run with the $40,000 deal, the $20,000 card, the $15,000 card, off-site, off-eBay, no fees, that kind of thing. So then they start hitting home runs with big scores and big paydays. That's what they want. They want the tens of thousands of dollars, you know. You got to be careful. Be careful. And until next time, folks, but still have fun. You know, you can still, you know, just like driving down the street or getting in an airplane or getting, you know, jumping off a bridge, jumping off bungee jumping or whatever it is you're doing. There's risk in it all, but you can still have fun. You can still have fun skydiving. You can still have fun flying your own plane. You can still have fun, you know, riding your bike in the bike lane. Even though it's dangerous, you can still have fun. Even though it's dangerous, you can get scammed by buying cards. You can buy a redemption card and wait for it for 2 years and get the run around and not hear from the company. You know, you can still find levels in there. I don't know about all that, but you can still find levels in there that you can have fun and you can enjoy this hobby, and we can enjoy it for what it is, but also hope that it gets better. Don't just sit back and take it. That's not the attitude to have. Get out there. If you're not the kind of person to get out there and blow somebody up, don't do it. I'm not trying to get you to be out of your comfort zone. But if you feel like telling a company that you were mistreated or telling others or telling whoever you want, feel free. Sign up for any of the forums, Blowout, Sports Card Forum, Freedom Cardboard, Beckett Forums. Get on there and tell people that this is BS and you're unhappy. And the more you do that, trust me, the more things will change, because if you don't say anything and you just take it, it's going to get worse. You got to get out there and say something if that's what you want to do. Anyways, what we want to do is end the program today, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back some other day with another program. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.